There used to be people who got reputations for being able to fix anything. Electric can openers, radios, electric lamps, they could do it all. Notice that list? Our devices are different in this age, and a lot of things are built to be thrown away when they fail. So it's something of a renaissance to see the birth of the maker movement, people who want to build things with their hands or fix things or alter them to do new things. Many towns have maker spaces. Some have them once in a while. Through events like the Mini Maker Fairs coming to several cities in the region in September, the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair will be held in late September at Science Works in Ashland. We have two guests with us. Anna Byers represents the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair in the studio with me. Anna, good to have you here.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Allie French is here representing Talent Maker City. Thank you for joining us, Allie.
Thank you so much for having us.
So let me get a quick definition from each of you about what the maker movement is about. Anna?
The maker movement is about being innovative and creative and either making something new or repurposing something old into something usable again.
And Allie French, do you have any idea what the roots of the maker movement are? What first got people A, calling it that, or B, doing it, in whatever order those happened?
I'm going to say, and this is a wild guess because I'm certainly not an expert on the history. I'm more of a new entry into this field. But I'm going to say it came from necessity, having to put things together or trying to figure something out or reconstructing something so it fit for you personally, something you couldn't find in a store. And you might adjust something to make it fit for you in your own home or in your work or specific to something that you're doing.
Well, that's a good definition. So things that didn't quite work for me size-wise or something like that, just I liked it better when it came from this side or where the button was over here, that sort of thing. So tell us about what goes on at Talent Maker City, what it is and what happens.
Well, there's a lot of new things happening at Talent Maker City right now. We are moving to a new space in downtown Talent. It's pretty exciting. We're going to be next door to the Grotto, if you're familiar with Talent, and right across the street from the Pump House at 304 Main.
Which is a happening place in downtown Talent.
It really is. There's a lot going on. We probably won't be opening our doors till mid to late September because we're ripping up carpet and grinding down cement floors and painting walls and getting ready to hold some workshops and programs right off the bat.
All right. So we'll get a little more into what Talent Maker City is about. I want to concentrate on the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair for just a bit. And it's third year now as this has happened?
This is its third year as a Maker Fair, but it was known as the Tinker Fair before that. And I believe it's been going on for about 6 years.
And there is a long time Tinker space at Science Works where this will be held, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is over all of the Science Works grounds outside, that sort of thing. You're probably thinking of Da Vinci's Garage, which is a Tinker space and will be in use that day.
It's been a while since I've been there. I don't think it had that name back then. But the point is that there was always been has for a long time been a space within Science Works itself that encouraged particularly younger people to just kind of hack things together.
Yep, exactly.
So how does Mini Maker Faire differ from just a smaller Tinker space like that?
Well, Mini Maker Faire is a maker fair that has fewer than 100 vendors or exhibitors. And while one day we hope to have 100 or more vendors or exhibitors, we aren't there quite yet. It's not mini in the sense that it's only for children or that you're only making small things. It is over the entire grounds of Science Works, outside, inside. We're using the huge geodesic dome. And we're expecting a couple thousand people this year and about 50 vendors showing how to make or repurpose or prepare different things.
So what for example, were some of the highlights of last year? And you know, what kinds of things were the ones that drew the crowds or got the most interest?
Well, I didn't work on it last year, but news on the block is that the car take-apart, which has been around for longer than the fair has been called Maker Faire, is a huge draw. Apparently, there are even a few kids that bring their own safety goggles and tools to work on that. And another really large draw last year, there was a presenter who had this wheelchair that he had a robot on that he could power with an off off-site device, and the robot would move around the space, sweeping, doing a couple other actions. Kids thought that was really cool, and they were excited to learn about the robotics behind it.
The car take-apart? People actually took apart a car?
Yeah. Ashland Automotive arranges the donation of two cars, and they have it all prepared. All the fluids are drained. It's under a canopy, so they don't get too hot, and anyone can come in and use. ScienceWorks provides a huge rack of tools, safety goggles. You can just take a car apart. Wow. And it is a take apart, not a smash apart.
Okay. So the tools do not involve sledgehammers, for example.
No.
Okay. Screwdrivers and pliers and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, good
yeah.
to know. For the folks who are sticklers for spelling and grammar, why is there an E at the end of Minimaker Fairer?
You know, I don't know. And I need to find out.
It is a franchise, isn't it?
It is. It's all Maker Fairs are under the umbrella of the Make Magazine organization, which is based out of San Francisco. And if I am remembering my details correctly, the first Maker Fair by them was hosted in 2004.
Okay, so a little history behind Mini Maker Fairs,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and now there are Maker Fairs all around the world.
And your event is on September 29th, is
it
that right?
It is, September okay. 29th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
All right, that is the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair we're talking about with Anna Byers. We also have Allie French from Talent Maker City here with us. Your questions or comments, welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange. Are you a maker? Are you interested in being a maker? You have the people here who can answer some of the questions about what that takes. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned that Talent Maker City is moving. Where, I mean, how much of a bigger space is this going to be than what you had?
Oh, we had a tiny little shop that was about 700 square feet, and we're moving into 3,700 square feet. So our first shop we hope to open is our wood shop. And we have all the tools and equipment to get things going in there and hopefully get some of our programs going, like our Intro to Carpentry for Women, Builder Skills programming we've had going has been really successful, and DIY Rain Barrel, and we'll get a lot of those things. We made pollinator houses. We've got all kinds of things we can get going with just the wood shop, but we've also got some tech tools that we're working with as well, like 3D printers, and we have a laser engraver to do, hopefully, some prototyping when we're talking about inventors and makers and what that Maker Faire is all about at ScienceWorks is getting all of those people together. Because one really cool thing about a makerspace is you pull people in from all different specialties. So you might have a woodworker working next to a sewing fabricator, and they can come up with something together and blend those two technologies, which is really a lot of what the maker movement's about. It's blending those different areas and inventing something or making something better than it was or something brand new and prototyping something.
So, for example, you may be making things out of wood, but the laser cutter allows you to cut the wood in ways that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Absolutely. We've made all kinds of cool things. We've made, like, even just name tags out of our laser engraver, but we ran a series of STEAM camps this summer where we utilized it for notebook covers for the students. So you might engrave something on the cover of the notebook, flip it over, and now it's a clipboard, so you can do your writing on that piece of wood, but it's also engraved specially for each individual student.
It's funny, when you said STEAM camp, the first place my mind went was steampunk, and then I realized, oh, wait, STEAM actually goes in the other direction. It's STEM skills with the arts in there, too, right?
Exactly. So we like to focus on science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, and it's really hands-on, experiential education opportunities that kind of grow into what you want to do as an adult, too, and having fun in a whimsical way and you're learning and making things.
With things like a 3D printer, it seems like you've reached the point where the only real limits are what you can figure out to program the computer to do for you that does the 3D printing. Because back in the day when you'd say, well, boy, if I only had a piece of something that was about this big and about that round, now you can actually make that.
Exactly. And another cool thing about the maker movement is a lot of it is open source software. So in working with a 3D printer, you can pop on like Tinkercad, and it provides everything you would need for free, even tutorial videos to learn how to do 3D printing and come up with your own ideas, which is really part of that whole community and bringing people together when you're making things. So when ScienceWorks is doing the fair, you can walk across the grounds outside at ScienceWorks and see all of these different people. So she brought up Tom Seppi, who brought the robot. I'll just do a shout out for Tom right now.
Please.
He's a local maker, and he's worked with Talent Maker City as well. In doing, he came and did presentations at our summer STEAM camp in our healthcare innovations, and he talked about making 3D printed prosthetic hands, which the concept behind that, if you look at somebody having to spend $30,000 on a prosthetic hand, but if you look at a kid who might need a prosthetic hand and then is going to grow and to have to spend $30,000 each year, so you can make a 3D printed hand fairly cheaply and then have that get replaced instead of having to spend that much money. So back to that DIY innovation out of necessity.
Figuring out how to get things done. Yeah, new ways to skin a cat. And my apologies to all the cats and cat owners. Anna Byers, is this a bit of a call out for people to sign up for Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair?
Yes, we would love to hear from any maker in the Valley. And making is not limited to someone who likes to do woodworking or tinker with electronics. The maker movement embraces everything. So we'd love to hear from people who make their own kombucha or their own cheese or dye their own fabric or know how to spin their own yarn. Really anything that you make with your hands, anything that requires a little curiosity and creativity to figure out how to really master. We want to hear from you. And you can contact us through the maker intake form on the ScienceWorks website at scienceworksmuseum.org.
Okay, and I did find a direct link as well to Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair through the organization that franchises the name Mini Maker Fair out to all of you, which brings up the point. I mean, there is a Mini Maker Fair I noticed 2 weeks before yours in Reading and one in Eugene the same day. How different can each Mini Maker Fair potentially be?
So different. I mean, we're really pulling on local makers. So it's both the interest that kind of drives the community that can dictate what's at each fair. It can be regional resources. We've got a huge venter community here and beer making community here and cheese making community here. I'm not sure about what Eugene's community holds interest-wise, but I know that, you know, the natural resources of the area can dictate as well.
Sure. All right. So the makers and the stuff that they're going to be making. So yeah, as you pointed out at the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair, it could be everything from card destruction, creative destruction, I should point out, to cheese making. Anna Byers, it represents the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair. Allie French is with Talent Maker City. You got a couple minutes to join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about maker spaces and maker fairs. The Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair, September 29th. You want people to sign up by Friday the 17th. Is that right?
I would love that. Although if you get in the day after, that's okay. And on another note, if you aren't a maker, but you're really interested in this event, we need volunteers. And any volunteer gets into the event for free. So you can find a link to fill out to be a volunteer for the event as well on the ScienceWorks Museum website.
Let me invite our listeners again to join the conversation. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I mean, not just a matter of a rather limitless field of things you can create, Allie French, but pretty much all sorts of different disciplines. I mean, we talked about the fact that, you know, it's electronics, it's wood, it's cheese, it's wine, it's pretty much anything. So, but it sounds like, are there more concentrations on wood products kinds of things at the Talent Makerspace as it exists now?
Only because that's going to be the first workshop we're going to be able to open. We're working on getting CNC routers and laser engravers and more technology-based. We're going to expand our digital media offerings as well as electronics. So we'll have soldering equipment and industrial sewing machines. So it's going to be a little bit of everything when we start off. But the tech component will also be highly represented.
What's the age group that seems to come to gravitate most to Talent Maker City?
Oh, let me throw out, we cater to curious minds of all ages. we do work with our camps with middle school through high school, the camps that we run in the summer, but our programming is catered to adults. And we've had everybody in our camps our programs that we run in the afternoons or evenings on the weekends from mid-20s to, I think we've had, you know, 80s, people who are in their 80s coming. And so it really is a wide range of people and everybody's accepted. We are all inclusive. Everybody's invited to come take part.
Part of the reason I asked that question, though, was because of the fact that I can remember industrial arts. I can remember shop classes from seventh grade on. And you know, we got to cut things up and put things together and all that sort of thing. And I'm wondering, it seems like there's a whole generation of people who, because of various budget cuts and shutdowns and programs, didn't get some of that. And if that's one of the reasons that, that maker spaces appeal to them.
I think so. I think there's been a series of time where, in fact, I'm probably one of them, but I think we had a wood shop and I think we had screen printing at my high school, but I was on a college track, so I didn't take those classes and I regret it. It was something that I missed out on in taking at school. Right now, a lot of the schools are expanding and creating makerspaces within their schools, so students are maybe getting a little taste of it, but what we'll be able to offer might be a little bit more than what could be at a wood shop or, you know, industrial welding. Or digital media, we might be able to expand on some of those things that the schools might not be able to afford, or one-off items that might be too much or too big to have housed at a school.
How is Talent Maker City funded?
We are a nonprofit. Hey, you can check out our website at talentmakercity.org.
I'll answer
you. I know, there we go. Right now, we are funded on grants. The Educational Services District of Southern Oregon has been providing grant funding for our summer STEAM camps. We work closely with the Phoenix Talent School District. They've also provided grant funding for us for some things. And the Rotary Club of Ashland has provided funding as well and tools. And we did a huge fundraising thing last year to raise money for tools and equipment as well, our holiday maker market.
Do people need to buy into the Talent Maker City, or can they just come down? I mean, what are the requirements, I guess?
Well, when we offer our programs, we will be having workshops and programming to start with, and those do have a fee associated with them. So people pay to go to those workshops. Then it covers costs and instructor fees and our insurance, which we have really great insurance. So
you have to.
But hopefully in the next, I'm going to say, a short period of time here, we're going to offer memberships to people. So it'll be operate like a little bit like a gym membership where you can come in and have access to all the tools and equipment you might want to use as you become checked off on the safety and requirements for that.
Okay. And before we go, what's the cost to come to the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair on September 29th?
It's the same cost as museum admission any other day. So $12 for adults and I believe $10 for children.
Okay. So a whole lot of thing coming out of the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair. And you want people to sign up again by August 17th, which is a week from today.
And you can pre-purchase tickets for the event online as well at the scienceworksmuseum.org website.
And we have linked ourselves to the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair at our website, jeffexchange.org, and we'll be linking to Talent Maker City now that you've heard from Allison French. Thanks to both of you for joining us today. Allie French does represent Talent Maker City. Anna Byers is trying to get the people to get in the door, both in advance to set up and also to come out to see the Rogue Valley Mini Maker Fair on September 29th. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.